Okay, today's daf is Machlus Daf Tes Vav. We're holding on the bottom of Daf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. We are at Tanya Chavase de Reish Lakish. We're about to bring a brisa that supports the sheet of Reish Lakish that we learned yesterday. So we are today's shiur once again is sponsored by Vishay and Elishav Numan, Chusur for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frum and Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Paschaya. You should both have a for Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. Essentially, we covered two topics on today's daf. One topic that we're going to cover on today's daf is a lav shekid moase. We know that halacha is that when you have a lav anitik lase, a los ase that can be corrected, that can be fixed by then being mekayim a mitzvah sase, ein lokan alav. You don't get malchus. What about a lav shekid moase? A lav that the ase precedes the los ase. We'll have to see exactly what that means, that it precedes the los ase, but that's going to be the discussion. Is a lav shekid moase something that you get malchus on or something that you do not get malchus on? The Gemara is going to specifically talk about the love of the assay of losia liisha when the love of loyusha lishalcha kol yamav when one is ma'anes a woman. The halacha is that he has to marry her and that he's not allowed to divorce her. So it seems that that's a love shekid mo'asay, that the assay is losia liisha and loyusha lishalcha, that he cannot get rid of her. He's not allowed to divorce her. So the Gemara is going to give four possible ways to derive from Sukkim about Ones that divorcing a woman that the man has been ma'anes is a lav anitik lase and not a lav shekid malase, and therefore that should not be used as a raya. Then the second topic we're going to have on the daf is going to be about whether the idea that a person doesn't get malchus and a lav anitik lase is that kimu velo kimu or bitlu velo bitlu, meaning at what point would a person get malchus? At what point do we say, you know what, the assay is no longer a possibility and therefore this person is going to get malchus? Is it that we tell the person, listen, you need to be mekayim the assay right now to fix this love, and if you don't, we're going to give you malchus, and right now he doesn't listen, he does not mekayim the assay, even though it's possible he'll be mekayim the assay sometime in the future, he didn't listen to our warning to do it right now, so right now we give him malchus. That's kimu velo kimu. We tell him be mekayim, he was not mekayim. Or is it no? As long as there's even a possibility that at some point he'll be mekayim the assay, we can't give him malchus for the lav. It's only if bitlo, he has taken away any physical possibility, any realistic possibility of being a mekayim the assay. Okay, so then we know that the lav is going to remain violated. So therefore, we can give him malchus for the lav, and we're going to connect that machlokas of whether it's all about kimu or about bitlu to the machlokas whether asra asafik shma asra or asra asafik lo shma asra. So Amud Aleph is all about a lav shekid malase. Amud Beis is about this machlokas of kimu velo kimu bitlu velo bitlu. But we still have one more thing to finish off before we get into that discussion. Tanya Kavase the Reish Lakish, about five lines from the end of the page, we had said that the sheet of Reish Lakish is that we derive the ashara of a tame person who eats kodesh from the pasuk b'chol kodesh lo siga. B'chol kodesh lo siga sounds like you're not allowed to touch kodesh, but somehow Reish Lakish derives from there an ashara that one is not a tame person is not allowed to eat kodesh. So tani kavasid Reish Lakish b'chol kodesh lo siga ashara lo ochel. It's an ashara for someone who eats kodesh. Atom ashara lo ochel and ashara lo nogeya. Are you sure that it's an ashara for someone who eats kodesh? It sounds like an ashara for someone who touches kodesh. Tam lomar b'chol kodesh lo siga ve'elamikdash. Pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo siga ve'elamikdash lo savo, and you don't come into the base of mikdash. So makish kodesh lo mikdash ma mikdash. Just like Mikdash, it has to be something, someone who enters the Mikdash while he's tame is chayef kares, it's something for which he could pay with his life for. Whatever b'chol kodesh l'siga is an ashara for, it has to be something that you could pay with your life for. So it's got to be if by touching kodesh when you're tamei, there is no chiyuv kares, there is no punishment of misa, ela ba'achila, but there is when you eat kodesh when you're tamei, and therefore, since the onesh is kares for eating kodesh when you're tamei, the ashara must be able to be derived from a chol kodesh lo siga, because of the hekesh b'chol kodesh lo siga, velamikdash lo savo, that just like velamikdash lo savo, something something that a person pays for his life, pays with his life for. But Chol Kodesh Lo Siga is an ashara for something that a person pays with his life for. Period. So now we move on. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says the name Rabbi Yochanan. Kol los asei shekadmo asei lokan alav. Any los asei that is preceded by an asei, one gets malchus on. Now, what does it mean that it's preceded by an asei? So Rashi writes in Dibur Maskel Kol that Rabbi Yochanan means to teach that even if you hold lav anitik la asei, you don't get malchus. That's only because when you're not able to be mekayim the asei until after you violated the lav, like the lav of los asirim imenu ad boker, the lav of nosar. That if you were mosir, the Torah says, then you have a mitzvah to burn the nosar. But you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of burning the nosar until you've already violated the isur and have nosar. So that's where we say lav anitik la'asei ein lokan lav. But if it's possible to be mekayim the asei before you violate the lav, that's what we call lav shekidmo asei. That you can do the asei before even having violated the lav, so then you're going to that's a lav shekidmo asei, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, that lokan alav, that you would get malchus for something like that. So the Ritva is medayik in Rashi, that even if the asei is written in the pasuk after the lav, meaning the order that it appears in the Torah, it's written in the pasuk after the lav, Rashi doesn't care about that. He's only concerned if you're able to be mekayim the asei in reality before violating the lav, it would still be qualified as a lav shekidmo asei. And it seems that way in Tosos as well, and the Ritva is mochiach like Rashi, from a Gemara in Chul in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, someone who's notel eim al abanim is loka. Someone who takes the mother without sending away, someone who does not do shiluach hakein is going to be loka. The lav of losika cheim al abanim is not considered nitek laasei big shalech the shalech haseim. There is a mitzvah sasei. You could send away the mother. It's not considered nitek laasei because the Torah, when it tells me that asay, the asay is that before you take the banim, you should be mishaleach asayim, and your mekayim the kiyum asay is not dafka after you violate the lav. So by shluach hakein, the asay is written. The asay is only written in the pasuk after the lav, and nevertheless, we still call it a lav shekidmo asay. Why is it a lav shekidmo asay? The asay is after the lav in the pasuk because it's not about where it is in the pasuk. It's about in reality, can you do the asay before the lav? And the answer, Shluach HaKein, is yes. So therefore, it's that's the raya that the Ritva brings. Problem is, says the Ritva, the Gemara is going to be mochiach like Rabbi Yochanan from a case of habal mikdash tamei getting malchus, because the asay is written before the lav. The asay of shiluach tameim talks about someone who goes into the mikdash betumah, so he's already violated the lav. It's impossible to be mekayim the asay of sending a tamei guy out of the mikdash unless a tamei guy first went into the mikdash. And nevertheless, it's a lav shekidmo asay. Why? Because it appears in the pasuk before the asay. So from our gemara, it's going to sound like it's all about the seder apsukim and not about what could happen in reality. So the Ritva suggests that only by an asay that says in the Torah after the lav does Rashi say that it's tully on whether you're able to be mekayim before or after. But if it's written in the Torah before the lav, then you're always going to get malchus, even though the kiyum is only after the Avera Salav. Meaning when Rashi says that in reality it has to be done before the lav, that's only if it happens to be written in the Torah. The essay happens to be written in the Torah after the lav. So it's one or the other. If something is written in the Torah before the lav, then it's automatically a lav shekidmo asay. So those are the Ritva suggests another possible teretz. Even though the asay of shiluach tmeim, you could be mekayim before you violate the lav, even by the asay of shiluach tmeim, it's possible to do the asay before the lav. We said, no, it's not. How do you send a tamei guy out of the mikdash unless a tamei guy first went into the mikdash? How is it possible to mekayim the asay before you violate the lav? Someone goes into the mikdash when he's tahar, and he becomes tamei while he's in the Mikdash. So before he became a tzuva in the Asay, his first thing is to be is his tzivu in the Asay to leave. If he doesn't leave as soon as he can, then he violates the law of Leitabos Machanayim. But you do see that there's a mitzvah Asay that can be fulfilled before the law, and that's how the Ritva explains how Rashi is going to explain the upcoming Gemara that we're about to see. Now, Tosos and Dibra Maskel Kol over here on the bottom, Tosos asks, why don't you get Malkus on the lav of Los Sigzal? Because it's a Nitik Lasei of Heshvas Akzela. Why is it a Nitik Lasei? The Asei is said before the lav. So Tosos says, yeah, the Asei is said in the Torah before the lav, but you can't be Mekayim the Asei until you violate the lav. How do you return that which you stole unless you first steal? So in reality, again, it's not about the order of psukim, says Tosos, it's about, in reality, can it be fulfilled? Yeah, but we just quoted the Ritva, who in one of his terutzim assumes that when the assay is written in the Torah before the lav, it's also chayiv malchus, it's also lav shekidmu assay, even if you can't be mekayim the assay until after you violate the lav. So how's the Ritva going to be metaritz Tosos kasha? I mean, Tosos says, very good, it has nothing to do with the order it's written in the Torah, it has to do with, in reality, can you be mekayim the assay before the lav? But the Ritva didn't say that way. The Ritva said it's all about how it's partially at least about how it's written in the Torah, and if the assay appears before the lav in the Torah, that's also lav shekidmu assay. So what are you going to do about the lav of Lo Sigzol? So in the Gvura Sari, he suggests that it's only by an assay that's written right near the lav that Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that if the assay precedes the lav, you get malchus on it. Because in one parsha we say ein muktam mucha b'Torah, and the assay is certainly a kodam lav. But by gzela, where the lav is nichtav not in the parsha of the assay, even though it's written after the assay, that you would not get malchus, because then we would say ein muktam mucha b'Torah, and it could be that the assay is really after the lav. And misafek, we can't give a malchus. We don't know, is the assay before or after, because it's in different parshios, and in different parshios we're going to say ein muktam mucha b'Torah. It's only within a single parsha that we know it's muktam and we know it's mu'uchar, and therefore you can have an assay shekidmu l'lav within a single parsha. On somewhat of an easier note, the Aruch Ladar just points out, why is it that the phrase Rabbi Yochanan uses is kol lo saseh shekidmu asay lo kumlav? Every example you have in the world of lo saseh shekidmu asay, the Aruch Ladar says kol implies that there are a lot of them. The Gemara can only come up with one of Knisa L'Mikdash Petuma. So this is one example of going into the Beis HaMikdash while you're Tameh. That's a Lo Sase Shekid Maasei. So we suggest that, you know, the Gemara is going to discuss an Ones, that's someone who's Ma'anis, a woman who's Megarish, and then is Machzir her, that he doesn't get Malkus, even though the Asei is Kodim Lav, because Kol Yomav Ba'amud V'Achzer Kai. So Rabbi Yochanan says Kol Lo Sase to tell me that it's a Klal. Whenever you have a Lav Shekid Maasei, you get Malkus, and the reason of Ones being Eino Loka is because of a different reason, but meaning that there are these two that are in this that would have been in this category had it not been that one of them was an exception. But there's only one where the rule actually holds true. But that's a little schwer. Still, Kol implies that the rule will actually hold true for more than one. So the Aruch Lener writes that he then later saw the Ramban in the Melchamos, where the Ramban in the Melchamos goes through a whole list of assays that are kodem lelav that the Gemara just doesn't mention. Motzi basra pesach chutz l'chabura gets malchus, even though there's an assay bebayis echad yochal. The lav of lo sotzi merabasu chutza is not a nita klasei because the assay is kodem lelav. Mechabe eish hama'aracha, someone extinguishes the fire of the ma'aracha, gets malchus, and he can't become pater by relighting it. Someone's makriv a mincha below melach, brings a carbon mincha without salt, he gets malchus, even though there's an assay of a melech timlach, and the assay is kodem, because the assay is kodem lelav of lo sashbis bris melech alukacha meal shulchancha. So you see, according to the Ramban, there are many, many examples of a lav shekadma assay. So it's not so shver that we have such a lashon. Okay, so anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says such a rule. Any lo sase she kidmu asay, it's not considered a lavanita klasay, you would get malchus. So Amalo, they said to him, Amarta? Yeah, you said such a thing? Amalahu, lo. He said, no, I didn't say such a thing. So right away, all the achronim are bothered. What do you mean? How can you say lo? I didn't say such a thing. Obviously he did. So the Aruch Haner points out that according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan was asked this question directly by his Talmidim, whether he said such a thing, and he said no. But the Ritva says, no, that's not what happened. According to the Ritva, Rabba Bar Bachana is the one that they asked. And the Aruch Haner says, the Raya that the Ritva is correct is that according to Rashi, it turns out Rabbi Yochanan told a lie. He should have said, I changed my mind. Not that I didn't say such a thing. But you understand if it was a Talmud that was being put on the spot. Rabbi Bar Bachana is the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan, and they say, did he really say such a thing? And he realized that they had a very strong kasha on him, and they were about to prove him wrong. So to save Kavod Rabbo, to save the Kavod of his Rebbe, he denied it. And he said, no, my Rebbe never said such a thing. And that you're allowed to do, because you're allowed to be Meshana Mepnei HaShalom, so you're allowed to be Meshana, you're allowed to lie for the sake of the Kavod of one's Rebbe. However, one has to be very careful, as Zilberstein points out in Chashuk Echemet, one has to be very careful if you're a Talmud and your Rebbe holds a certain Shita, before you lie and say that your Rebbe doesn't know that Shita because you think he's wrong. Because very often the Talmud just doesn't understand. The Talmud just has a misimpression of what the Rebbe's real Shita is and how to defend the Rebbe's Shita. He brings an example, a fascinating historical example of where people could just totally misunderstand, and they would have easily denied that a Rebbe ever said such a thing, and until one day it becomes clear that the Talmud just didn't understand. The Crazy Uplacian, Simon Samachay, writes that in his time there was a guy that who practiced nikur of animals, and he made a mistake to suggest, he wanted to say a chiddush, that we've gotten the wrong gid all these years, the wrong gid anosha. And he suggested, no, it's a different vein, it's a different sinew, and he went around from town to town, was marish habrios, you know, made everyone crazy that everyone's got this halacha wrong, and he had rayas and whatever, and he came to Prague, and he says the crazy place, he presented his case to all the rabbis of Prague, and I looked into it, and it turned out that the gid that he was talking about only appears in male animals. Female animals don't have a gid. And I opened up a sefer smug, and I showed him that it says that gid anush is no egg, bizucharim unikevos, vishtakim lilule. And he was quieted because he had nothing to say. His gid only appears in zucharim. So for years, no one understood what on earth the crazy place he's talking about. In the sefer smug, when he writes that this mitzvah is no egg, bizucharim unikevos, he writes that by every mitzvah in the Torah, even mitzvahs that have nothing to do with animals, because it's not about whether the animal is a male or a female. It's about people. Is this a mitzvah that's noeg for men and women, or only a mitzvah that's noeg for men? What on earth is it? So a Talmud of the Crazy Place, he says, Rav Silberstein, easily would have said, no, he didn't say it. Would have denied it, right? Because he's wrong. It's obvious, such an obvious error. But then they found found the Ksavyad of the Crazy Place, the initial printing, where it said smug. He had crossed out in his own hand. He crossed out smug. The gimel was a typo. The samach mem gimel was a typo. It should say, and he wrote in his own hand, samach hei nun, a sefer called Sefer Hanikur. And Sefer Hanikur, it says beferush, that it only applies to male animals, that it applies both to male and female animals, that you need to do nikur agid. So obviously there was an easy defense for the crazy place, because the defense was that he never said it. So they misquoted his source of Zucharim Velonu Kevos. So sometimes the Talmud has to be very careful. It's very enticing to say, oh, I understand, and my Rebbe's wrong, but and maybe mutter a lie if you're sure, but you can't be so sure so quickly. Okay, so Amar Luhu Lo, so again, Rabbi Yochanan said, never said it. Amar Rabba, Helukim, Amara, Uksiva, Vitanina, he said it, and it's based on a Pasuk, and it's codified in a Braisa. Kasiva, it says in the Pasuk, V'yishlchum in a Machna, V'yitam, Now you send them out of the machna, and you're not metame the machna tanina, and we learned in our mishnah habala mikdash tame, that someone who's bala mikdash tame gets malchus. So you see that you get malchus even though there's an asay, because this is a lav shekidma asay. It says v'yishluchu min machna, that's an asay, and v'leitamu as machna is los asay. It's a lav shekidma asay. That's why you get malchus. So he obviously said it. The question is, why did he change his mind? Meaning, if he said it, why would he change his mind about it and deny having said it, and now insist that even a lav shekidmo say it's like a lav anitik say, and you don't get malchus? So mishum dekashalei ones, because he had a problem from the case of ones, because ones tetanya ones shegiresh im yisraelu machzir ve'inaloka. If a guy is ma'anes a woman, so he has an obligation to marry her velosia liisha. So let's say he marries her and then he divorces her. So if he divorces her, he has an obligation to remarry her, and he does not get malchus for divorcing her. Im kohen, who if he's a kohen, so he doesn't have the option of remarrying her after he's divorced her, because a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. So loka ve'eno machzir, he's going to get malchus, and he's not going to be able to be machzir. Tosfos raises the question: why don't we say asay docha los asay? Los yelisha should be docha the lav of a kohen marrying a grusha. So he says asay eno shava b'kolhu da'i amar lo be'inalei laka asay klal, that this is not an asay shava b'kol, because she could always say I'm not interested in marrying. Meaning when the assay is not so strong that it's an absolute, when there's an easy way out of the assay, like the woman saying, I don't want to marry you, so that's an easy way out of the assay, then we're not going to say such an assay is going to be docha, a los assay. The los assay is going to win in that case. But the bottom line is, going back on that first line, if he's Yisrael, so the halach is he does not get malchus. Sim Yisraelu, machzir ve'inaloka. Amai, why doesn't he get malchus? Los asei shekidmu aseihu vililki. This is not a lavanitik lasei. The asei applied before the los asei. The asei comes before the los asei. Los yelisha is before lo yuchal shalchal kol yamav. So don't you see that a lav shekidmu asei is like a lavanitik lasei, and you don't get malchus? And that's why Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. So the Gemara is going to show that no, there are four explanations the Gemara is going to have why ones is a bad example, and why Rabbi Yochanan's initial statement might have been correct. That even though a lav anitik lasei you don't get malchus, a lav shekidmo asei you do get malchus. It's just ones is a different case for one of the following four reasons. Says Gemara Amar Ula, the Ula explains, explanation number one, lo yomar lo siya li'isha ba'ones. You know, the Torah never had to say the phrase lo siya li'isha by an ones. V'ligmar mi motzi shemra, and we could have derived it from motzi shemra. When a man is motzi shemra on his wife, there's also a mitzvah of lo siya li'isha. So couldn't I have just said umam moti shemra shelo asa maisa amrachmana v'lo siya li'isha by moti shemra, where the person didn't do a maisa? Still the Torah says v'lo siya li'isha ones lo kolish gain, by an ones, well, the more so where the guy did a maisa, he should have the obligation to take care of her, of lo siya li'isha, to stay married to her. The Ritva points out that, wait, is it so obvious that a motzi shemra didn't do a maisa? What about the man diyamar in Bamatzia Dav Tzadi that dibur is considered a maisa? Motzi shemra speaks, he at least says that lo matzas lebilchum psulim, so he says words, so motzi shemra was chata b'dibura, that should be considered a maisa. So he says, nah, but it's not, there are levels of maisa. You know, even if you say that dibur is a maisa, on some level, it's clearly not as much of a maisa as an ones is, so it's clearly not as strong of an iser, and that's all you need to make this kal v'chomer. That motzi shemra is a lesser maisa than ones would be. Maritz Chai says, well, even if you even by motzi shemra there's a maisa. If you hold like the sheet and ksubas that you're only chai for motzi shemra if you hire Aden that she was mizana, so then it's a real maisa. Then it's not just dibur. So ask the Maritz Chai. So how can you say that it's not a maisa? So the Maram Shif points out that no, the onus for motzi shemra is for the words. It happens to be that a tanai, in order to get punished, in order to be considered a motzi shemra, a tanai of the isser is that you have to have been so serious about it that you hired edim about it, that you hired edim to lie for you. But the actual onesh is for the motzi dibur. It's only for the dibur itself. It's only for saying the words. Okay, anyway, says Gemara further. Im einu inyan lefanav, tenayu inyan liacharav, shim girish yachzir. So now we have velosia liisha is not necessary by ones, because we could have learned it from Motzi Shemra, and im einu inyan lefanav, so if we're not going to use velosia liisha for before the guy divorces her, tenayu inyan laacharav, we'll use velosia liisha for after, shim girish yachzir, that if he divorces her, he has an obligation to remarry her. Meaning, I don't need to be told that initially, when a guy is ma'anis a girl, he has to marry her. I learned that from Motzi Shemra. So why does the pasuk say velosia liisha? To tell me, even after he's already married her and divorced her, he has a mitzvah to remarry her, to take her back. So va'akati onus motzi shemra lo gamar, says Gemara. It's not a good. So why do we quote all that? All of that was to show that the reason you don't get malchus for divorcing an onus victim is not because it's a lav shekidmo say, it's because it's a lav anitikla say. Lo siya liisha is tenei winyin la'achrav. It's after you violate the lav that the assay is going to come into effect. So it's a lav anitikla say. So that's why you don't get malchus, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan's initial shita could still stand. Says the Gemara, no, but it's a bad kal v'chomer. V'akati onus motzushem lo gomer, di'ikal mifrach mal motzushem shken loko mishalim. How could you say that if Lo Si Elisha applies by Motzi Shemra, Kal V'Chomer it applies by Ones? You know, Motzi Shemra has its own Chumrah. Motzi Shemra is Loka Umishalim. By Ones, it's not Loka Umishalim. You don't have two punishments. We apply, normal Kederish Haso. So says the Gemara, the way to defend Rabbi Yochanan is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan's initial Shita is as follows. Lo Yomar Lo Si Elisha by Motzi Shemra, V'Ligmar Me Ones. The words, the phrase Lo Si Elisha didn't need to be said by Motzi Shemra. I could have learned the Kal V'Chomer in the other direction. I could have learned it from Ones. The Torah didn't need to tell me that you have an obligation to marry someone you're Motzi Shemra about. Why? How could I learn it from Ones? Uma Ones She'en Aloko Mishalim Amarachman V'Losi Elisha. Ones, which is more Kal, because you don't get the double punishment of Malchus and Mamon, and nevertheless we still see that you have to marry her. Motzi Shemra L'Kolishkein Motzi Shemra, which is more Chamor, that you do get the double punishment of Malchus and Mamon, all the more so you should have to marry her. So then why does it taka say Lo Si Elisha by Motzi Shemra? I already know Lo Si Elisha from a Kal V'Chomer. So it must be that phrase Lo Si Elisha that's extra by Motzi Shemra can be applied to Ones. And Emenu in the fun of Tanei Winyan La Acharav. And if it's I don't need to be told Lo Si Elisha before you've divorced her, so then we'll apply it to after you've divorced her. So it's a lav hanita class A, because Lo Si Elisha could be applied to Ones, it could be applied to after you violated the lav. So says Gemara, Motzi Shemra Meones, Nami Lo Gamer. No, that doesn't work either, because you cannot learn this Kal V'Chomer of Motzi Shemra from Ones. Dikal Mifrach Mal Ones Kenas Maisa, because in a certain sense, Ones is also more Chamer than Motzi Shemra. So the Kal V'Chomer can't work in either direction. So that's why attempt number two to explain why Ones is really a Lav Hanita class A fails. So now we move on to attempt number three. El lo yomar lo si elisha b'motzi shemra sharei ishtohi. No, you know why it doesn't have to say lo si elisha b'motzi shemra? Not because we could derive it from any kal v'chomer from Ones. We can't. No kal v'chomer's work over here. No, you know, it doesn't have to say that you have to marry her by motzi shemra because you are already married. That's the case. The whole case of motzi shemra is you marry the woman and you don't find that she's a basula, or you claim not to find that she's a basula. So she's already ishto. So lemon amar, why does it have to say Lo Si Elisha Imenu L'Motzi Shemra Tenei Winyin La'ones? Must be that we could apply that phrase of Lo Si Elisha to a case of Ones. Imenu L'Fanav Tenei Winyin Li'achrav. Ones beforehand, I already know. So it must be that it's telling me Lo Si Elisha afterwards, and therefore it's a lav hanita klasei, because the assay comes after the lav. The ema, so says Mar, not necessarily. Maybe that limud is not correct either. The ema of him in the front of the Motzi Shemra Tnei in Lachrav Didei De Lo Laki. How do you know to apply the unnecessary Lo Si Elisha that it says by Motzi Shemra before to Ones after? Maybe you should take that unnecessary Lo Si Elisha that it says by Motzi Shemra before and apply it to Motzi Shemra after. Meaning, let's say you divorced the woman that you were Motzi Shemra about. Now you have a mitzvah of Losi Elisha. So Mosi Shemer will become a lav and nitgase. But not Ones, maybe it has nothing to do with Ones. So it says Mara Enochinami, you're right. Va'asi Ones, v'gamar minei. But maybe you're right. So Mosi Shemer is a lav and nitgase. But maybe we can learn that Ones should have the same halacha. Meaning that if by Mosi Shemer you have a mitzvah after you divorce her to remarry her, by Ones also you should have the same halacha. Why should we be mechalik? Says Gemara, but how can you learn anything about Ones from the parsha of Motzi Shemra? B'may Gomer, what mechanism are you going to use to learn from one to the other? B'may Gomer minei, iba kal v'chomer, iba memetzinu, whether you want to use a kal v'chomer or whether you just want to use a simple memetzinu, ika l'mifrach mal motzi shem shken lo asa maisa. We're always going to have that pircha that you can't learn from one to the other, because Motzi Shemra, in a certain sense, is less severe since it's lo asa maisa, whereas Ones is more severe because it is asa maisa. So you can't learn from one to the other. Ella, final attempt, and this is the one that's going to work, to again explain why it is that Velosi of the Isha is not that the issue to divorce an Ones victim is not a lav shekadmo asay, but rather is a lav hanita klasay, and that's why you don't get malchus for it. Ella amarava kol yamav ba'amod v'hachzer. Since the pasuk says extra words, it uses the words kol yamav. So it didn't have to say that. It didn't have to say lo yuchal shalcha. You're not allowed to divorce her. Why kol yamav? To tell you that the mitzvah of lo siyeh li'isha continues to exist kol yamav even after you've divorced her. Ah, so that's how you see that Ones is in fact a lav hanita klasei, that even after you've divorced her, kol yamav, there's a mitzvah to be machzir. V'chein kiasam rav Rav Yochanan, kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer. And then we heard it from the horse's mouth. Ravin quotes from the name of Rav Yochanan himself, that kol yamav is ba'amod v'achzer. And that's why this is not a kasha on Rav Yochanan's initial shita. Rav Yochanan's initial shita, that's true, lav hanita klasei, ain lo kan alav. But a lav shekidmo asay, yes, lo kan alav. Aye, what about Ones? It's a lav shekidmo asay. No, it's not. It's a lav anita klasay. And that's why it's saying lo kan alav. But the case of nichnas and mikdash tameh is a lav shekidmo asay, and therefore you're going to get malchus for nichnas and mikdash tameh. Amle Rapapla Rava, Velo Dami Lavi Lilav de Chasima, asks a very basic question. Wait a second, didn't we learn that whenever you're going to get Malkus in any Lav, it has to be Dumya de Lav de Chasima, it has to be similar to the Lav of Losachsum Sharbadisho? Well, Losachsum Sharbadisho is not a Lav Shekidmo Asay. So how can you say you get Malkus for a Lav Shekidmo Asay? You don't get Malkus for anything that's not similar to Lav de Chasima. Amle Mishum de Kasav Berachmana, Asay Yaseira Mikragara. He says, I don't get it. If you get Malkus, even though there's not an extra assay, so kal v'chomer, when there's an extra assay, you should get malchus. But because there's an extra assay, we should weaken it and say you don't get malchus. So it says Gemara, yeah, but then by that logic, nami mishum, you can say the same logic by a lav anita klasei. Why don't I get malchus for lav anita klasei? It's not only a lav, it's also an assay, so it's even stronger than the lav. So of course I should get malchus. But yet you don't. A lav anita klasei, you don't get malchus. So lav shekidmo asay, also you shouldn't get malchus. So amalei, no. When it's a lav anita klasei, haulu natuke lav huda asa. That's coming dafka to fix the lav. So there are two ways you could fix a lav. Punish the guy, give him malchus, or in a case where it's a lav anita klasei, the Torah says, no, we have a different way, not we, Hashem, has a different way to fix this lav. And that different way of fixing the lav is by doing the mitzvah saseh. But a lav shekidmo asay, it's not there to fix the lav. And therefore, the only way to fix that lav is by malchus. And it's a more severe lav. It's a stronger lav because it's preceded by an asay. Period. So that is why we assume you can get malchus for a lav shekidmo asay, even though it's not exactly like the lav de chasima. Because what distinguishes it from the lav de chasima is that it's stronger than the lav de chasima. So says Gemara, Hani chalamad yamar bitlo velo bitlo. This answer works if you assume, meaning the idea that we said of kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer, that the reason that ones is a lava nita klase is because throughout his entire life he always has the mitzvah to remarry her. That's only if you assume bitla v'lo bitla, which means that a lava nita klase you can get malchus on only if you've made it impossible to ever be mekayim the asay ever again. So you could say the reason ones is that's megarish doesn't get malchus is because through at some point later in his life he has the ability to remarry her. And as long as you have that ability to remarry her, we cannot give you malchus. But if you assume that there's some point in time where Bezin pulls the guy aside and says, listen, you need to be mekayim the asay, otherwise we're going to give you malchus. He says, no, not doing it. So even though he has the possibility, he can always remarry her later in life, we don't care about that possibility. Right now, you refuse to do it, we're going to give you malchus. So then, Ma'ikel Amemar, how are you going to explain Rava? Right away, Bezin warns the guy, be mekayim the asay, remarry the girl, and if he doesn't, he's going to get malchus. So you can't say kol yamav ba'mod v'achzer. He doesn't get kol yamav. He gets till the Beis Din warns him, and that's it. So there is no kol yamav ba'mod v'achzer. So says Gemara, me do time el Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara says, yeah, but this whole thing of lav shekid ma'aseh is only within Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Rava's whole explanation of the ones being a lav anita klasei and therefore distinguishing it from a lav shekid ma'aseh is only to explain the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. And guess what? Hamalei Rabbi Yochanan Tana tani bitlo chayiv v'lo bitlo pater. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that taught that it's all about bitlo and lo bitlo. That we tell him you need to be that it's only if the guy was mevatel the opportunity forever in the future being able to be mekayim the asay, only then do we give him malchus. So it's all totally in the bitlo asay. So you could darshan kol yamav is ba'mod v'achzer, and therefore it always remains a lav anita klasei. Where do we see that Rabbi Yochanan held such a thing? D'tani tana kamed Rabbi Yochanan. One of the Amoraim taught a brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan as follows. Kol mitzvos los asay shiyesh bakum asay. Any los asay that is nita klasei, that you could do an asay to fix it, kiyem asay sheba pater. If you actually do that asay, you now are not going to be chayiv malchus. But bital asay sheba chayiv. If you are mevatel any opportunity to do that asay in the future, then you're going to be chayiv malchus. So later, Rabbi Yochanan said to the guy who taught that brisa, Maika amart. What are you saying? Meaning kiyem pater, lo kiyem chayiv. Are you saying that if the guy is mekayim the asay, he doesn't get malchus? But if he's not mekayim the asay right now when we warn him that he better do it, then he's going to be chayiv malchus, even though he was not mevatel the opportunity for the future. He's just not doing it right now? Or bitel chayiv, lo bitel pater? Or is the word, it's not about kiyum, but it's about bitel. That if he's bitel the opportunity to do the asay, then he's going to be chayiv malchus. But if he wasn't mevatel the opportunity to ever do the asay in the future, he's going to be pater from malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan responds, Tani bitlo velo bitlo. The way the brisa should have been taught was bitlo if he's mevatel the asay is chayiv, lo bitlo is pater. You can't have it mixed the way it was initially presented to him. That kiyem asay sheba pater, bitel asay sheba chayiv. No, it's either kiyem or it's bitel. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan says, and I side with bitel. It's bitlo velo bitlo. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar kiyomo velo kimo. He says, no, it's all about kiyum. Rish Lakish says that if you're mekayim the asay, then on the spot when Bezin tells you to, then you're not going to be chayiv malchus. But if you choose not to be mekayim the asay on the spot, you will be chayiv malchus. So that's Rish Lakish arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. But this Rava's whole teretz in Amud Aleph was only according to Rabbi Yochanan anyway. Says Gemara Rabbi Maika Mifli, what taka is the basis of this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether it's vakimo velo kimo or bitlo velo bitlo? So says Gemara Basra Safek Mifli, they're arguing whether in order to be chayiv malchus, you need asra as vadai. You need asra at the time that you're violating the lav to be vadai. Meaning, what does asra as vadai mean? That I warn you, you better not do this, because if you do this, you're going to be chayiv malchus. And I'm certain that if he does this, he in fact will be chayiv malchus. Asra as safik is, I tell you don't do this, because if you do this, you're going to be chayiv malchus. And even if he violates my Asra'a, he still might not be Chayav Malkus. There still might be a way out of the Malkus. So let's think about it. If you hold Kima, the Bezgin gives him one opportunity to be Mekayim the Asay. If you're not Mekayim the Asay right now, you get the Malkus. So then it's Asra's Vadai. I give him Asra, don't do this, because if you do, you're going to be Chayav Malkus, because he's not going to be Mekayim. We have this moment in time where he's not Mekayim. But if, whenever there's a possibility in the future of him ever being Mekayim the Asay, it's going to take away the Malkus, so the I'm not going to be able to warn him about Malkus. So says Mar Sav, Rabbi Yochanan holds Hasra Savik Shema Hasra, that Asra Safek is an actual Asra, so you could hold that Lav Nitik Lasei is only when you're Mevatel the possibility, because and at the time that you warned him, Enoch Inami was only Asra Safek, but that's fine if he's Mevatel the opportunity to do the Asay 5 years from now, we'll give him Malkus then. That's perfectly fine, because my Hasra was a strong Hasra, even though it was only Asra Safek. Umar Sava British Lakish holds Hasra Safek Lo Shema Hasra. That Asra Safik is not a real Hasra, and if you hold that the Lav is only complete at the Bitul Asay, so you can never get Malkus for Lav and Nitik Asay, because the every time you're giving the Asra, it's always Asra Safik. So it must be that Reish Lakish holds Kimo V'lo Kimo, that the Lav will be complete right now when you do the Lav and you're not Mekayim the Asay. So basically, you can give that Asra right before. If you're not Mekayim this Asay, we're going to give you Malkus. And right then and there, if he's not Mekayim the Asay, he'll be able to get Malkus, because it will be Asra's Vaday. Tomorrow we're going to see that this Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is Lishitasam. So we'll pick up on Vaz L'Temayu tomorrow.